Hi, we are on chapter 22, a very important chapter from the point of what treatment should be given to the borrowers by the lenders. Because generally there are complaints from the borrowers that lenders are harassing, the lenders have a defense that borrowers are not actually complying the terms and conditions that were, and there is no clarity between what the borrower wants and what the lender wants. And this particular chapter, Fair Practices Code for Lenders, is a very special chapter to understand what fair practices should be followed by the lenders. The objective of this chapter would be to understand the Fair Practices Code for the lenders. And when we say fair practices, they are a clear clarity on how the lender should actually deal with the borrowers. There is a background for bringing this fair practices code. Like, there was a committee on working group on lenders liability constituted by Government of India, and they had given recommendations, and this committee was basically for the understanding the feasibility of introducing the fair practices code for lenders. This committee actually was we also had consultations with government as well as select banks and financial institutions, and the guidelines have since been finalized based on this committee's what we say the working group on the lenders liability law constituted by Government of India regarding what fair practices for the lender should be. And the guidelines have since been finalized for the banks and all India financial institutions, and these banks and all India financial institutions are advised to adopt these broad guidelines and frame the fair practices code duly approved by their board of directors. So friends, now we have to understand what all should be mentioned in this fair practices guidelines. But whatever is mentioned, it has to be on the basis of this code that has been circulated to banks. And secondly, this not only has to be formulated, but this also needs to be approved by the respective board of directors. So let us understand point by point relating to what exactly the fair practices should be relating with various aspects of lending. The very first aspect of lending is the application form, application for loan and their processing. So what are the fair practices that should be followed by a bank? Loan application form in respect of all categories of loans, irrespective of the amount of loan sought by the borrower, should be comprehensive. When we say comprehensive, whatever details that are required by the bank should be mentioned on that, and the borrower is bound to provide all this information. And this is with a view to bringing the transparency so that the lender will have full knowledge about what borrower is, what all should be seen into the borrower's quantitative, qualitative aspects in order to take a decision whether to finance him or not. And banks are advised that they must be having this transparency and disclose to the borrower all information about fees, charges, payable for processing, the loan application, the amount of fees, refundable on if the loan application is or the loan amount is not sanctioned, disbursed, prepayment options and charges, any penalty for delayed repayment, and conversion charges for switching loan from fixed to floating or vice versa, existence of any interest rate clause, any other matter that affects the interest of the borrower. So what do we find here when we talk about comprehensive loan application form? All that things that are required to be charged to the borrower has to be clearly mentioned in the application form, which actually brings to the notice of the borrower. Later, the borrower doesn't take it by a surprise. And when the borrower actually sees and reads all this before actually taking or availing the loan, then the borrower also cannot complain that he was not aware. And that's the reason this is a very important aspect of providing transparency about all the details that are to be known by the borrower in the application form itself. And that's not all, friends. There is also a requirement that all this displayed should not only be put on the application form, but it should also be displayed on the website of the lender, that is the bank, so that anyone who wants to see even before applying would be clear about what all are the schedule, the tariff schedule, the way of processing that a bank is going to follow before even actually applying for the loan. So this is a very, very important aspect of the Fair Practices Code. The very first aspect relating to applying for the loan as well as how the bank would process the loan application form. There are some more important provisions in this code relating with applications for loan and their processing. That is, banks and financial institutions should devise a system of giving acknowledgement for receipt of loans application. Because generally what was happening was the borrower used to apply and he was not aware about what has happened about the status. Sometimes the bank is also not bothered because of the workload, and here comes an important code that it is a commitment from both sides. The borrower, after applying the loan, should be given an application acknowledgement, and that's where the bank is also very clear in diarizing about when the application form was received, and in turn the borrower can also understand what is the reasonable time the bank would take for processing over here, because he will have an acknowledgement of date. Next important provision in this fair practices code relating with application loan and the processing is the bank's financial institution should verify the loan applications within a reasonable period of time. So this reasonable period of time is very important to understand. It cannot take months, but as for the load, as for the requirement, as for the industry standards, the bank should take a lead in verifying and not just delay and keep this application pending. If additional details or documents are required, they should intimate the borrower immediately so that the borrower will understand the importance of providing such information and submit these details to the bank, and bank would timely process it, and finally the outcome of it within a reasonable time would happen. Next important thing is, in case of all categories of loans, irrespective of any threshold limits, including the credit card application, the lender should convey in writing the main reason or reason which, in the opinion of the bank, after due consideration, have led to rejection of applications within the stipulated time. So here it is not just to acknowledge the sanction. Here the court says the bank should also give rejection reasons. The bank should convey that it has taken a decision to reject the application, and not only that, the borrower should know why the application was rejected. So if there are any shortcomings which he can correct, he can easily do it after it is brought to his knowledge. So it won't be remaining as rejected forever. So this is also an important provision relating to the application form, sanction and rejection. Next important provision in the code is about, okay, once the application is given by the borrower to the lender, how it is to be processed. So processing largely involves appraisal whether the sanction facility should be sanctioned or rejected. So what are the conditions that has to be put into while the loan application is appraised? Lender should ensure there is a proper assessment of credit application by the borrower. So proper assessment, looking into all angles of the information that is provided by the borrower. They should not use margin and security stipulation as a substitute for due diligence on credit worthiness of the borrower. So credit worthiness becomes a top priority of the borrower, and if at all anything is required over and above, then insistence of margin and security should be. Just because the borrower is able to give the margin and stipulation and it doesn't have good credit worthiness, that doesn't become a good case for appraisal. Lender should convey to the borrower the credit limit along with the terms and conditions thereof, and keep the borrower's acceptance of these terms and conditions given with his full knowledge on record. Next important thing is the terms and conditions and other caveats governing the credit facility given by the banks and financial institutions arrived after negotiation by lending institution and the borrower should be reduced in writing and duly certified by the authorized official. Another important part of this appraisal is the copy of loan agreement along with the copy. Each of all the enclosures quoted in the loan agreement should be furnished to the borrower so that the borrower is aware about what he has signed, what are the terms and conditions that he needs to follow during the tenure of the loan. Some more important guidelines on this loan appraisal and terms and conditions are, the loan agreement should clearly stipulate the credit facilities that are solely at the discretion of the lenders. So this discretion of the lender is an important word. It is only when the lender feels that this facility should be granted based on important points that are considered like credit worthiness, margin, stipulations, then only such facility would be granted to the borrower. This may include approval or disallowance of facilities such as drawing beyond the sanction limits. It may also specifically state that lender does not have an obligation to meet further requirements of the borrowers on account of the growth in business without proper review of credit limits. Borrower should not take it for granted that once a credit facility is provided for him, then as and when he requires, it will be always provided basis for growth in his business or whatever the structure of business that would be in the future. If at all any changes are happening in his business, then a proper review has to be made by the bank. Only then it would be taking a decision whether to suit the financial needs of the borrowers or not. In case of lending under consortium arrangements, the participating lender should evolve procedures to complete the appraisal of proposals in the time-bound manner to the extent feasible and communicate their decisions on financing or otherwise within a reasonable time. Next, important terms about disbursal of loans. Lender should ensure timely disbursement. So when a sanction has been communicated to the borrower, subsequent to which the borrower has accepted the terms and conditions and borrower has even provided the documentation that is required for disbursement, then there is no point that there is any delay from the part of the lender relating with disbursement. Here there is a very important provision of disbursement. The lender should ensure timely disbursement of loans sanctioned in conformity with the terms and conditions governing such sanction. Lender should give notice of any change in the terms and conditions, including the interest rates, service charges, etc. Lender should also ensure that the changes in the interest rates and charges are effected only prospectively. It cannot be done with a retro. It should not be done with a retrospective effect. Now, after the disbursement happens, the borrower gets the money. He uses it for his business, and the regular end use of funds starts. And now there is a point of the bank's duty to ensure that whatever funds that are provided to the borrower are indeed utilized for the purpose for which it was provided. And here comes the importance of post-disbursement supervision. When we talk about post-disbursement supervision by lenders, particularly in respect of loans up to rupees 2 lakhs, should be constructive with the view to taking case of any lender related genuine difficulty that a borrower may face. So up to 2 lakhs, there has to be a considerate angle from the point of the lender. Before taking a decision to recall or accelerate payment or performance under the agreement or seeking additional securities, lender should give notice to the borrowers as specified in the loan agreement or a reasonable period if no such condition exists in the loan agreement. Next important provision relating with the post-disbursement supervision is lender should release all securities on receiving payment of loan or realization of loan subject to legitimate right or lien of any other claim lenders may have against the borrowers. Once the payment is made, lender should not unnecessarily hold the securities. They are to be rightfully possessed by the borrower once the payment has been received by the lender, unless there is some legitimate right or lien on those securities in favor of the bank. There are some general guidelines in this fair practices code, like lender should restrain from interference in the affairs of the borrower except for what is provided in the terms and conditions of the loan sanction and documents. Lender should not go into too much details which are not the aspect of loans or what are including the terms and conditions. The borrower should be left on his own for taking his own decisions relating those things where the bank lending is not at all connected with. Lenders must not discriminate on the grounds of sex, caste and religion in the matter of lending. So this discrimination has to be strictly prohibited. However, this does not preclude lenders from participating in credit-linked schemes framed for weaker sections of the society. These are specifically coming as a welfare scheme from the government, and this won't be called as a discrimination. In fact, this is a very good effort for the banks to participate in the welfare activities, providing facilities to the weaker and disadvantaged sections of the society. There are some more general guidelines which says In the matter of recovery of loans, the lender should not resort to undue harassment. Persistently bothering the borrowers at odd hours, use a muscle power for recovery of loans, etc. A humanly treatment should be provided for the borrower. Yes, he has defaulted, but one should not go to extreme extent from the point of recovery. So bank has to show some ethics into recovery. We have a very special chapter on this. What are the codes for the recovery agents? So which will come subsequently. In case of receipt of request of transfer of borrowed account, either from the borrower or from a bank or financial institution which proposes to take over the account, the consent or otherwise objection of the lender, if any, should be conveyed within 21 days from the date of receipt of request. So this is also a very important general guidelines from the lending point of view. Now, having understood these are the general guidelines, these are the specific guidelines, especially for the fair practices code from the lending point of view, for the lenders, a big freedom is given to the lenders for drafting this fair practices code. These are the basic guidelines. However, what it says, banks and financial institutions will have the freedom of drafting the fair practices code, enhancing the scope of the guidelines. So when banks have the freedom, they have full liberty to enhance the scope of the guidelines, but in no way banks are having freedom sacrificing the spirit underlying the above guidelines, which doesn't enhance the scope but in fact dilutes the scope of the guidelines that are provided. For this purpose, the boards of the banks and financial institutions should lay down a clear policy, and this should have a special involvement in to such implementation of fair practices code. The board of directors should also lay down the appropriate grievance redressal mechanism within the organization to resolve disputes within this regard. The board of directors should also provide for periodical review of the compliance of fair practices code and the functioning of the grievance redressal mechanism at various level of controlling offices. A consolidated report of such reviews should be submitted to the board at regular intervals as may be prescribed by it. So friends, now this is a very, very important provision guidelines on fair practices code. We have to ensure the adoption of fair practices code, the adoption of the code, printing of necessary loan application forms and circulation thereof among the branches and controlling offices should be duly completed. If you go and see, most of the banks have implemented this code in spirit. The fair practices code, which will be adopted by the banks and financial institution, should also be put on their website for wide publicity. So it's not only from the point of implementation by the bank, but the entire customers, the borrowers who are actually going to deal with the bankers should also be aware. So any general public who wants to know about the fair practices code of the bank can easily see this from the website of the respective banks. Thank you.